Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We're continuing our series on marriage from a retreat that I did for Church of the Apostles in Atlanta, Georgia. I hope that you're being encouraged. If you didn't hear the first episodes, you want to go back on the website and listen. Many people struggle with the subject of human sexuality, and whether they're married or single, we need to understand what God says about physical oneness between husband and wife. God bless you as you listen to the teaching of God's Word. If your goal is to make it wonderful for the person you're married to, that's your focus, and your partner's goal is to make it wonderful for you, it's going to be great. If your goal is to get for yourself, you're not loving. It's not an expression of love. But if your goal is to serve, to bless, then it gets real good. Well, what if one person is being unselfish and the other person's being selfish, and so it's give, 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 and the other person's take, take, take? What happens then, Pastor? Well, then you do not have a great sex life, and God will bless you, and God will deal with them. And that's the truth. That is not just true of sex. It is true of everything about the marriage relationship. Well, I'm willing to give as long as I get. Well, that's not love. That's not agape. That is, unfortunately, the way that most people live. I'll do for you, you do for me. I scratch your back, you scratch mine. God calls us to a whole different kind of life, not just in the bedroom, in every area of the marriage. But please understand, this definitely carries over into the bedroom. The sex life should be an expression of love. That's what God designed it for. An expression of love between a man and a woman who are married to each other. Now, it does say who are married to each other. And since you all are married, it's like, okay, well, I got to check. All right? But let me tell you, one of the reasons that the church has not had more credibility in addressing all kinds of sexual immorality in our day is because basically we decided it's not worth preaching against fornication because everybody's doing it. You know, we don't want to make people feel guilty. They might not come back to church. So let's just, you know, let's don't talk about that. Well, we need to talk about it. People need to understand that when you do that, you're setting yourself up for all kinds of problems later on. Because one of the beautiful things about waiting to have sex until you're married to each other is you are building trust into the relationship. Because what you're teaching your partner over and over and over again before you marry is, even though I desperately desire you, I love you and I love God and I'm going to wait. And when you got two people who are doing that, what they're teaching each other over and over again is, this person can be trusted. But when you violate what God says about sex being an expression of love between a man and a woman who are married to each other, what you're teaching each other over and over again is that, well, you know, if I want something, too bad about God's law. I'm going to go ahead and do, you know, what I want to do. That's not a good message to send your spouse. That is not a good foundation to build on. You have laid a foundation of mistrust. I cannot trust this person to do the right thing. They're going to give in to their desires. God's not trying to spoil our fun when he says, save this for marriage. He's trying to give us a solid foundation where we will be able to trust each other all the more in marriage. And let me tell you, being able to trust each other is vital to the marriage relationship, and it's vital to the sexual relationship. So, any other tips for making it good? Yeah. Ready? If my goal is to make it great for my wife, I need to understand that my wife is a woman, not a man. And a vital aspect of sex is what's called foreplay. F-O-R-E-P-L-A-Y, you know that word. But see, foreplay to a man compared to foreplay for a woman, not the same thing. Henry Higgins in My Fair Lady asks, why can't a woman be more like a man? The answer is because God never intended for them to be. We live in a porn-saturated culture, and in the porn-saturated culture, where most of the performers, by the way, are not only abuse victims, but they are very often, in terms of their personal lifestyle, homosexual, both men and women, maybe bisexual. Well, the point is, they're sexually messed up. They're not just doing something bad when they make porn. These are not role models, folks. It is fantasy. Watch interviews with some of the people who used to work in the porn industry, and they'll tell you, you know, it is not the way it appears on the screen. We live in a porn-saturated culture, and as a result, tons of men think that women are supposed to be like porn stars. And if your mate isn't like that, always just wanting you, oh, I'm so glad you're home. Can't wait to hop in bed. Let's go now. I don't know what's wrong with my wife. She's not like that. Okay. Well, did you marry a woman? Because women, generally speaking, are not wired that way. They're not supposed to be. The women in the porn videos are not wired that way. Just so you know. But a woman, generally speaking, is much more responsive. See, a guy's foreplay, we think just a few minutes of tender touching, that ought to do it. Because that would do it for us. Men are generally very visually oriented. Generally speaking, these are broad generalizations, but they hold true broadly. Men are visually oriented. And so we are much of the time not thinking about anything. It's not like we're always thinking about sex. We're just often not thinking. You know, what are you thinking about? Nothing. He won't open up to me. Yeah, no, he just opened up. There was nothing there. Okay? I mean, I'm just telling you, that's the truth. Just so you know. All right? But then the woman appears before him. Hopefully, maybe she's just gotten out of the shower or something. And all of a sudden, he's revved up, ready to go. Engine has already started. Here we go, especially when we're young. And the woman is like, he's an animal. You know, what is wrong with him? Nothing's wrong with him. He's a man. Okay? But we're thinking, okay, if I touch her a little bit, then, you know, that's foreplay. Can we go to the main act? And she's thinking, you know, this is awful. In 1 Corinthians 7, the Apostle Paul, in telling us that we are not supposed to deprive our mate of sexual intimacy, offers a caveat. He says, unless it is by mutual agreement for a limited period of time so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. What should that tell you about the biblical expectation concerning how long sex takes? Honey, I was thinking maybe we ought to just not have sex for about 5 to 7 minutes so that we can devote ourselves to prayer. Do you really think that was the picture? No, the idea is that sexual intimacy is not just a few moments of sexual intimacy. There's this whole ritual of expressing love. What does that look like? Well, it looks like whatever meets my wife's needs. So foreplay may include taking out the kitchen trash. How's that sexy? It's not sexy. What it says to her is, I love you. I love you. I'm here for you. I value you. I buy my wife flowers. That's foreplay. I make sure that the cooktop is turned off. I make sure that the house is in order and the doors are locked and we're ready to go. All that before I try to initiate intimacy. Why? Because I understand that women are built differently from men. You see, a guy doesn't care if the door is locked. Guy doesn't care if the stove is on. Guy doesn't care if the dog's barking at something in the backyard. Okay? A woman has a radar going all the time. And so you want to eliminate as many possible distractions as you can. Okay? But I mean, there's just this different approach. A guy is on a mission, okay? And it's usually a selfish mission, okay? But he's on a mission. He's going to do what he wants to do and you know, just be done quickly. That's not love. That's not an expression of love. That's an expression of selfishness, okay? Just give me a few minutes. Let me get what I want, and then, you know, you can watch TV, read a book, whatever you want to do. That's not the way it's supposed to be. But again, foreplay, if you want to do it right, gentlemen, isn't just about a few minutes of tender touching. Foreplay is about treating her in a way that makes her feel secure and cherished. That's a turn-on for a woman, is somebody cares about me. Guy, we like to be cared about, but we can live without it. At least for right now, we're focused on a mission. I'm just telling you, how are you going to ever bring those two together? Love. The guy has got to learn to deny himself and focus on her needs, ministering to her the way that Jesus laid down his life for us. Gentlemen, Ephesians says you're supposed to love her the way that Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Ladies, you need to understand what men are like. He's not just a brute. He's not just an animal. He's a man. Now, I say all of this, and it is more relevant for younger couples, of which we have quite a few here. Guys, if you're over 21, I think that's all of you, if you're over 21, you're on the downhill slope. We peak about 21. That's really sad, isn't it? But the fact is, God gives us this surge of testosterone when we're in our late teens so that we will get out of the house, okay? So that it will occur to us, I need to get married, okay? I'm going to have to find a wife. I guess I need to get a job. I guess I need to learn to support myself. I need to have a place to live so I can bring my woman back to the cave, okay? So, I mean, God wires us early on to have this super strong drive that would be intolerable if it lasted a whole lifetime. Women, interestingly, reach the peak of their sexual desire later than men. Typically, the last data I saw, women tend to reach the peak of their sexual desire at about age 35. So we ought to get some 21-year-olds and some 35-year-olds together. No. The fact that God designed it, I think that's just a result of the fall. Well, maybe. I don't think so. I think it really plays out beautifully in several ways. One is the guy begins to pursue a mate, and then he marries her, and he gets to be very much like Christ, the initiator of this intimacy in the relationship. And that's appropriate if he does that in a way that is loving and respectful and not in a way that is selfish and demanding. But then as that relationship grows and matures, and the guy is getting to the point where he's beginning to realize that maybe he's not going to be the president of the corporation, and he comes in feeling a little bit not so great about himself, he has this lady who's more interested than ever and wanting to be with him. And he's like, well, maybe, you know, I may not be the king at work, but she treats me like a king at home. Well, she's just doing that because now her sex drive has become stronger. No, she's doing it because it's love. It's the way it's supposed to be. All right, but you're saying that men are supposed to initiate and women are just supposed to respond. I'm saying that God designed it to be like a dance. And it is a good thing. It is a good thing and a godly thing that our desires are not automatically in sync. And so we have the opportunity, both as husbands and as wives, to focus on pleasing that other person as unto the Lord. Now, I don't care what your background is, everybody has baggage emotionally. You may have been a virgin when you got married. You may have not been a virgin when you got married. But you have an enemy, and he has done everything he can to try and distort your understanding of what love looks like and what sex is supposed to be. And if you feed yourself with images and songs and books and so forth that are feeding lies to you, it's just going to make matters worse. And we'll talk more about this, God willing, tomorrow when we talk about understanding each other and being understood by each other. Our son Clayton, he's a magnificent guy, went with us on a beach trip. Somebody gave us, when I was pastoring in Atlanta, gave us a trip to Grand Cayman. And it was paradise. It was absolutely beautiful. But Clayton, God bless him, our second oldest child, came in and he was as red as a beet. Okay? And we thought, oh my word, you know, we put sunscreen on him, but he just apparently can't handle the sun. He inherited Norwegian skin from me. And Norwegians are not supposed to be in the sun. We're supposed to be in the snow. So we're at the beach, and he's getting just burned as red as can be. And so we lathered him up more sunscreen. And we sent him out again, and he came back. He was redder than ever. And we were just like, oh, son, so sorry. Put more sunscreen on him. He was allergic to PABA, which is one of the main ingredients in the sunscreen that we were putting on him. He wasn't getting sunburned. He was having a horrible allergic reaction to the stuff we were putting on him to protect his skin. Now, why do I tell you that? Because what we were doing, we intended as an expression of love for his good. But because we didn't understand all the information that we needed, what we were doing was actually hurting our son. Do you see how that could play out in a marriage? If you don't understand your mate, and that includes in the bedroom, if you're doing what you think would be fun, but there's not good communication, you got to be able to talk about sex. Song of Solomon demonstrates what that looks like. They talk to each other about what they like, including what they like about each other. They compliment each other. They say kind things to each other. He says, you know, I love your hair and the way it kind of falls down and curls, and it's just beautiful. And I love the fact that none of your teeth are missing. He says that. Okay. He says, I love your belly button. Okay? Navel. But actually, it was in Hebrew. It means the same thing. You know, he's complimenting all this stuff, and she's talking about, your arms are like rods of iron. Strong man. Your legs are like stone columns. They're complimenting each other, building one another up. She doesn't say, you know, your legs are like stone columns, but your feet stink. Okay, that's not in there. By the way, what do you do if his feet stink? Say, let's take a shower together. Sounds wonderful. I'll wash your feet. That sounds New Testament. Okay? You don't have to talk about smell, just fix the problem. And guys, understand, by the way, that oftentimes ladies care more about how you smell than you do. Just so you know. But you ought to find out what she likes. Not everybody likes the same thing. So, I'm telling you, God designed sex for his glory and our good. And it should be pleasurable. It should be intensely pleasurable. But not only are men and women different, but health and age can impact this. I remember when Billy Graham wrote, well, he didn't write, he was interviewed by Time magazine at, I think, age 80. And they asked him about his relationship with his wife, Ruth. And let me tell you, they were a couple. I knew them both. They were devoted to each other. But he said in that interview, well, actually, Ruth and I have had pretty much a platonic relationship for a number of years owing to my health issues. Well, Ruth also had health issues. Both of them had real serious physical challenges. We were up there at their house within the year before Ruth died. And Billy had just waked up from a nap in the other room. And he came in to see us. But let's just say we were not the main attraction in the room. Ruth was the main attraction. He was in love with her. And at that stage, goodness, Billy was probably 90 at least. So what do? You take whatever you got and you use it to bless your mate. There are ways that you can serve one another and express your love in intimate ways. But I'll tell you this, and this what I desperately want you to understand about physical intimacy in marriage. Talk with the Creator. Talk with your Heavenly Father and say, Lord, help me. Let me tell you, I pray before we have sex. I years ago was doing a conference and I said, any of you pray before you have sex? And this guy said, I pray for sex all the time. I said, no, pray before sex. I mean, we pray before our meals. And we, you know, Lord, we thank you for what we are about to receive. All right? So I pray, but I do. I ask the Lord to help me to be a good lover. That's not, you know, well, I don't know if we ought to talk to God about that. Sex is designed by God. He invented it. He knows more about it than anybody anywhere. Here's the thing. You're not alone in your bedroom. God is there. And he's not a voyeur. He's the Creator. He designed this. And when things go like they should, God is honored and God is pleased because he loves you and he loves your mate and he wants you to be blessed in this experience. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do it all for the glory of God. Sex should be for the glory of God. Your sex life should be for the glory of God. So say, Father, please help me. Help me to make this good. Help me to be a good lover. Help me to be a good wife. Help me to be a good husband. Help me to love my mate well. And God will answer that prayer. The best guidance about sex is 1 Corinthians 13. Put it into practice. And you will find more and more and more. It gets better. It gets better. I'm very pleased to see my wife is nodding. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org.
That's pastorwood.org.